What's up, you guys? I'm Andrea.
And I'm Haley.
And you're listening to Inhuman, a true crime podcast. Welcome back, everybody. Happy New Year again.
Happy New Year.
2024, and it's going to be a good one.
It is.
Hope everybody had a good ringing in of the new year. And today I'm going to be sharing with you guys a case that is actually pretty well known in the true crime community, but I didn't know it. So,
yeah, I've heard the name, but I don't know most of the details.
Well, I'm going to share with you what I know, and there is a lot. There is a good amount of information on this case, but it sadly has no resolution, and there's just not a lot of evidence pointing to any particular thing.
Okay.
But because this person is missing, I wanted to share his story.
Yeah, absolutely.
On June 13th, 2001... 19-year-old Jason Jalkowski received a call from his boss at Fazoli's, which is a restaurant that he was working at in his hometown of Omaha, Nebraska. And his boss was basically asking if he could come in early. So some reports say that he was completely off that day, and then other reports say that he was scheduled to come in later, but then his boss asked for him to come in early.
Okay.
Unfortunately, Jason's car was in the mechanic shop, so he was planning to walk to work, but it was about a 4-mile walk, so not like terrible, but not great either.
Right.
So he decided against it, and he called back and planned for one of his coworkers to pick him up instead.
Okay.
They arranged to meet at Benson High School, where Jason had graduated 2 years earlier, as it was only about a 0.5 mile from his house. As Jason walked out the door, he grabbed his red work shirt and carried it with him. He helped his younger brother, Michael, take the trash cans into their garage, and then he headed to the high school to meet his coworker.
Okay.
Somewhere between 11:15 and 11:30 a.m., Jason's coworker called his house to see where he was, as she had been waiting to give him a ride.
Hmm. Okay.
Jason never made it to Benson High School.
Mm.
The following morning, Jason's parents called the Omaha Police Department and reported him missing. Jason has never been seen or heard from again.
Wow. So he just disappeared in that not
little
super
window.
Long period of time.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's reported that he left his house around 10:45 that morning, like between 10:30 and 10:45. And there are eyewitness accounts from a neighbor seeing him and his brother Michael wheeling the trash cans back into the garage. So basically from 10:45 to 11:15 is when
he
went missing.
Wow. Yeah. That's not a long period of time.
It's really not. Jason Anthony Jalkowski was born on June 24, 1981 in Grand Island, Nebraska, to Kelly and Jim. As I mentioned earlier, Jason had one sibling, a younger brother named Michael, and they grew up in the Omaha area. According to sources, Jason had a mild learning disability, which related to his speech and language. But his family described him as having an above-average intelligence. This was evident in his expansive knowledge of sports trivia, among other things. His mother, Kelly, stated he was like a walking sports trivia dictionary of sorts.
I love that. That's like so specific and such an interesting way to describe it, but I can totally understand what that means. Like, I love that.
Yeah. So an example that she used was that you could ask Jason, who won the World Series in 1953, and he would immediately know the answer.
That is amazing.
Yeah. Jason was known to be a little on the shy and quiet side, and he only had a small handful of friends, but he was incredibly kind and very responsible. He graduated from Benson High School and was attending college at Iowa Western Community College at the time of his disappearance. Jason was also a member at Holy Name Catholic Church, and he spent several hours a week involved in the Perpetual Adoration Program. Jason had, at one point, expressed interest in becoming a priest, but he ultimately decided against it. It's unclear why, but he just decided to go a different direction with his future.
Right.
But he did volunteer several extra hours a week for the program, and he also served as a lector for the church.
Wow. Okay.
Jason had a huge passion for broadcasting, and he had dreams of one day becoming a radio DJ for KIWR, or better known by locals as 89.7 The River, an alternative rock radio station.
Oh, that's awesome. So he was pursuing that passion, and that's great. You're allowed to change your mind and change what you want to do in your life. That's totally normal.
Agreed. And I think it's really admirable because he kind of struggled with his language and like communication and stuff. So this was something that kind of was out of his comfort zone.
Right.
But he wanted to achieve it nonetheless. So he really had his, you know, sights set on something big and kind of out of his like wheelhouse, I guess.
Right. Oh, good for him. That's amazing. Very admirable, like you said.
Yeah. In June of 2001, Jason was on break from school, so he had picked up a summer job working part-time at Fazoli's, which is an Italian-American chain restaurant. So it's kind of like Italian fast food from what I gather. They have like a drive-through and...
Okay, that is so cool. Italian drive-through?
Yeah, I know. I was like, yum.
I want that near me. That reminds me of like when I studied abroad in Italy, there was this little like pasta, like little hole in the wall pasta shop that you would like walk up to the window and you could like basically create your own pasta, like what sauce and what like toppings and all that. And it was so good. And now I'm jealous of anybody who has any type of like Italian drive-thru near them.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. So while at school, Jason had kind of picked up a side gig, and he was co-hosting at the college radio station. And despite a few hiccups in the beginning, he quickly grew a following. So he kind of had like a little fan base at his college, and people knew him around campus, and it was just That's very awesome. Cute.
Yeah, I love that. And also that like sparked something in my mind, and now I remember this case.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. For some reason, like that little tidbit that he like hosted the show at college and had a little following is something that like apparently stuck in my mind the first time I heard this.
Yeah.
Probably because it's so adorable and I love it.
It is. And he is adorable. He has like a baby face. Like even though he was 19, he's like just has like this sweet little baby face. Like he just looks just very sweet.
He looks like, he looks like such a nice person.
Yeah. Just like a nice boy, a nice kid. So unfortunately, it took the Omaha PD a little over a week to begin a formal investigation into Jason's disappearance. Do you want to take a gander at why? A guess? A gander? A galley? All the other words that starts with G that don't make sense?
Because he ran away?
Yeah. So initially, they assumed he must be a runaway.
I am rolling my eyes so hard right now. I wish you guys could see me.
But his parents... They knew otherwise. They knew that that was not Jason.
Not
Jason
him.
Was responsible. He was dependable. And he would not purposely miss work more than anything.
Right. I feel like, too, like, you know, parents know their kids' personalities. Mm-hmm. And if a parent is saying, like, no, that he had no reason to run away. He had not only that, but we know him and we know he's not going to just miss work. Like if something happened to him or he did want to leave and go go for some reason. He would call out of work, or he would tell us, or like, why aren't we listening to parents when they say this?
I don't know. So in the meantime, his parents launched their own search. They began calling around to Jason's friends to see if any of them had heard from him, but no one had. They called around to local radio stations and requested they notify the public of Jason's disappearance. They printed and hung up flyers and posters, and despite generating a lot of buzz around Jason's case, no one came forward with any significant information.
And that's so sad that they had to do all of that with no help from authorities.
I know. Eventually, police were able to ascertain, based on what little evidence they had, that Jason could not have willingly left of his own volition. For starters, he left behind $650 in his bank account, which has not been touched since his disappearance.
And if he was running away, why would he not take the money he had? I mean, that's like a good amount of money for somebody in college to like just have sitting there. Yeah. So you're not just going to leave that if you're trying to run away for whatever reason.
Right. He also did not take any of his personal belongings, with him that morning, aside from his work shirt, which is like,
because he was going to work. Yeah. Like, come on.
He hadn't cashed any of his paychecks. He didn't use his cell phone or ATM card, nor did he pick up his car from the repair shop, which I would think if you're running away, you're going to need a car.
You need a car. So. Like, how is he getting away? If he doesn't have money, he doesn't have a car. Where is he running to that he's, like, running away? Like, that doesn't make sense.
Right. Even if he had, like, say he had a secret lover or something and, like, he was going to run off with them, chances are he would take his money, he would take his belongings, he would take his cell phone and his ATM card, or he would use his cell phone and ATM card.
Right. Like, you'd at least take something. Like, okay, maybe you want to leave your cell phone behind. Well, why don't you withdraw the money and take that? Like,
at least some of it.
Yeah. No, it makes no sense.
So not only that, but Jason was supposed to start a new job that he was beyond excited for just 2 weeks after he disappeared. So this job would offer a tuition program that would help him pay for college, where he could attain his dream of becoming a radio DJ. So why would he willingly throw all of that away?
Yeah, again, no reason to believe that he ran away.
No. So despite the delay in investigating Jason's disappearance, once the investigation finally began, it seems like the Omaha police conducted a thorough investigation. So once they did get the ball rolling, they were thorough, but unfortunately they lost that vital time in a disappearance that you really should be investigating the case.
Right. And I mean, it's great. It's great that they like took it seriously, and it might have just been protocols that they had in place that they weren't allowed to break, where it's like you have to wait X amount of time before reporting someone missing or something like that.
That's the thing. So this is one of those cases, again, where like many people would assume, because that's what we hear so often, his parents thought that they had to wait 24 hours before reporting him missing. So they waited the 24 hours, reported him missing, and then the Omaha police basically disregarded their concerns and said he's a runaway. And then I think it was about 10 days later is when they were like, okay.
10 days?
Yeah. I think it was like 7 to 10 days, like in that window of time that they were like, okay, maybe he's not a runaway. Let's start investigating. So they lost a lot of important time that they could have been on the ground searching for him.
Wow. Okay. That's really frustrating.
Yeah. So to start, they, of course, questioned his coworker that was supposed to pick him up that day, as well as his boss, and they were both cleared relatively quickly.
Okay.
They interviewed neighbors and conducted ground searches. So they had people on horse searching for him, because I guess there's a lot of like wooded area, rural area. They also did helicopter like air searches. But unfortunately, they just found no evidence or clues as to where Jason could be. Investigators checked the security footage at Benson High School, which is where he was supposed to meet his coworker, and it showed that he never even arrived on campus.
Okay, so he disappeared on his way there.
Right. Police believe Jason disappeared between that 10:45 and 11:15 window, and that he was most likely met with foul play.
Yeah, but I'd say so.
The question is, like, why, who, and why would someone want to harm Jason?
Right.
So there's several theories in this case, and I'm just going to touch base on a few of them, because there's literally no evidence to lead us in any direction, but a lot of people have suspected that he was hit by a car and maybe the person panicked and disposed of his body.
Okay. Which is, yeah, like it was an plausible accident and then.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Some people suspect that he was taken either by someone he knew or someone he didn't know, because he was a kind person. He was a little shy, so it wouldn't be in his norm to like go up and talk to somebody. But if someone pulled over and was like, hey, you know.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I wonder if somebody.
Directions or.
Yeah, tried to prey on his kindness by pulling over and like asking him for help. And then he offered to help. And then maybe they like pulled a gun or pulled a knife and said, get in the car.
Right. And then some people suspect that, and this is completely, I don't think real or not real, but I don't think it's plausible at all, that he committed suicide, because where is his body, number one? Yeah. And he was a happy kid. Like, he had everything going for him. Like, yeah, he had some struggles, but there's just no evidence pointing to him taking his own life.
Yeah, and even if he, you know, had masked it all and had done that, like you said, where's his body?
Yeah. So most of these theories, I mean, there's just no evidence pointing directly to any of them. But for me, I think the plausible thing is that he definitely met with foul play, whether it be intentional or unintentional.
Yeah, I agree. I honestly think that somebody saw him walking. It was a sick person that wanted to abduct somebody, whether for whatever reason, and they attempted to, you know, get his attention, got him close enough that they could pull a weapon on him, and got him in the car and took him. And that's why there was, yeah, like, no sign of him.
Yeah. In 2003, his parents, Kelly and Jim, founded Project Jason, which is a nonprofit organization dedicated to assisting families of missing persons. The organization offers tactical guidance, emotional support, and hope for families continuing their searches for answers.
That's amazing.
The families working with Project Jason benefit from increased public awareness of their missing loved ones through a variety of outreach and educational activities. The families are also guided towards existing resources available to help with their efforts. So it's unclear if this organization is still actively running, because their website seems to be inactive. But I will link any information or resources I can in the show notes below, so you can use them at your.
Yeah, that's amazing, because it's like they were met with like having to do so much themselves. And so taking, yeah, all of that to help others, even if it's not active anymore and they, you know, were doing that for some time, that's still incredible. And, you know,
yeah,
major like kudos to them for taking something so scary and tragic and heartbreaking for them and taking that to help others.
I know. I always find that just remarkable when families can do that in light of what they've gone through, you know.
Truly.
In 2005, Jason's parents lobbied for Jason's Law, which would provide Nebraska with a statewide missing persons database, and the law was officially passed by Nebraska legislature.
Amazing.
So it's
why is that not a thing everywhere?
I know. I'm like, it's dumbfounding, honestly, when I hear like these laws being passed. I'm like, why is that not already a thing? Like,
right.
It's crazy. Crazy
time. I mean, I guess it was 2005. Yeah. So yeah, things have come a long way since then, but still, like, that should be a thing everywhere. Yeah,
it
should.
Because that makes it, I mean, you can go on, you know, like NAMIS or the Center for Missing and Exploited Children and like scour through that. But there's so many missing people that it's hard to, unless, you know all their information, their name. And sometimes it's even hard just to search for their name. Like, it doesn't always pop up, you know?
Yeah, if it's like a common name or something.
Yeah. But if you have a more isolated area and a resource for that, then that's so much more convenient for
people. And then, too, when people are found, I feel like that would make it easier to identify people if there mm-hmm. was, like you said, like a smaller database that was more localized.
Yep. Detective Jim Shields of the Omaha Police Department said the case remains an open and active investigation and that they are still investigating any leads as they come in.
That's good.
In 2010, Jason's mom, Kelly, received unprecedented national recognition for her efforts when U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder presented her with his Volunteer for Victims Award at a special ceremony in Washington, D.C.
Wow.
Then a year later, in 2011, Governor Dave Heineman named Kelly that year's recipient for the Nebraska Governor's Point of Light Award.
Wow.
Kelly continues to advocate for families of missing persons and has assisted thousands of families over the U.S., including more than 100 in Nebraska, with strategic and emotional support to better the chances of finding their loved ones alive.
That's amazing.
I know. As we close today's case, I want to share a blog post that Kelly wrote. Her words are desperate but powerful, and I wanted to share them with you guys. Quote, "It's September 13th today. It's just another day for most people. It's not for me. Each month, the 13th comes around again. There is nothing that can stop it. It serves as a reminder of what is and what isn't. I went to work this morning and started the day as usual at 8 a.m. I flipped over my daily calendar from Monday to Tuesday. The number 13 stared me in the face. It's not that I don't know what comes after 12 or what day this is. It was just that the action of turning that page made the surreal become real all over again. My throat tightens as I type this. I fight back tears. Everywhere I look, I see his face, although in shadows. I cannot grasp onto a shadow. It moves with my movements, always out of reach. There are times when the world seems so small, but this is a time when it seems as if it might as well be the universe. He is out there somewhere, and I cannot find him, no matter what I do. I often say that finding a missing person can be like looking for a needle in a haystack, but for me, there are a million haystacks, and I am blindfolded. Over the years of living this life under my belt, I am becoming more accustomed to digging through the haystacks. As long as I keep going, I have eliminated another one. I don't like it at all, but I accept that this is what it is for now, and it may be what it is for the rest of my natural life. At least I know one thing. I will see my son again. I just do not know when and where. It may not be on this earthly plane. It's hard to wait. It's hard to think of what may have happened or might be happening to him. There are plenty of frightening theories to go around. There is also the possibility that he did leave willingly. I really do not know. I do know that the heartache and the pain do not diminish with time. A mother does not stop worrying about her child. Recently, there was a story in the news about a young woman who had been missing for 7 years. Her parents thought she was dead, but she was alive and well, living and working in another state. Stories like these reaffirm hope. Just because someone has been missing for a period of time doesn't necessarily mean they are dead. Hope is a gift, I have that no one can take away. Only the truth can do that. I will wait for the truth. In the meantime, I will keep digging through the haystacks. Tomorrow may be just another day, but it will be a day of hope and possibilities.
Wow. How, I mean, yeah. Powerful, incredibly, like, written and stoic, and just, like, the fact that she could have that perspective after so much heartache and so many years of searching with no answers.
I know.
She seems like an incredible person.
Yeah. At the time of his disappearance, Jason was approximately 6'1 and 160 pounds. He is a white male with brown hair and brown eyes. He was last seen wearing a white Chicago Cubs or Sammy Sosa t-shirt, a blue or black Chicago Cubs baseball cap, black dress pants, and black dress shoes. He was carrying a red Fazoli's work t-shirt. Jason would also go by the nickname JJ. I will post pictures on our Facebook and Instagram of the age progress photo of Jason. He was 19 when he went missing, but today he would be 42 years old.
Wow.
If you have any information regarding the disappearance of Jason Jakowski, please contact the Omaha Police Department at 402-444-5818. Or you can call them at 402-444-5690. You can also reach out to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children at 1-800-843-5678.
And he's out there somewhere. Like his mom said, he is somewhere. And somebody knows what happened to him, but he is somewhere. Yeah. And just because there's not a lot of evidence and not a lot of, like, really leads or anything, that doesn't mean he can't be found. Like, he's out there somewhere and somebody knows what happened to him.
Yeah, I mean, he went missing in broad daylight. Now, granted, you know, it was a weekday, you know, a lot of people were at work. So if you're not looking for something, you're not going to see it. But, like, I just feel like somebody had to have seen something, or it just doesn't make sense that he just vanished into thin air.
No, and somebody, I mean, I think it's very obvious that somebody was involved in his disappearance. Yeah. So that person knows something and might have told other people something. And there are answers somewhere, and this family deserves answers.
Yep. And somebody out there holds the key to unlocking everything.
Yeah.
I also post a picture of the walk from his house to the school, just to give you guys a better, because it was like neighborhood and kind of like suburban-esque, you know, so it wasn't like just wide open space where no one's around to witness or see anything. Right. But like I said, it was, you know, the middle of the workday, so I guess it's, you know, a big possibility that people were just distracted with work and at work, so.
Well, and if somebody, like, you know, pulled over and talked to him and then, like, somehow pulled a weapon, it could have looked completely inconspicuous. Like, he's just getting into a car. Like, you don't necessarily know there's something bad going on.
Right. Like, not necessarily someone, like, forcing him into the car or, you know, dragging him in there or something.
Yeah.
But I will link all the contact information for the Omaha Police Department and the Center for or National Center for Missing and Exploited Children in the show notes below, so you can use those if you have any information. But that is all I have for you guys today on the disappearance of Jason Jokalski. I really hope and pray for the sake of his family that he is found sooner than later. And I think that it's a possibility that he can be.
Yeah, we're hearing every day about cases that are being solved. Yeah. So,
but thank you guys so much for listening. We will catch up with you guys next week with a brand new case. And until then, keep it human.
Bye, guys.